people were just sold their house, and so they had to make it look nice when they were selling it. So they got this new bed and everything, and they didn't need it in their new place. And so she's like, you're picking it up at 6:30 tonight. Well, that's cool. Great, great. So I get home, and it's been the regular chaos of the day. And so she sent a certain child with me that she did not want to see anymore for the next hour or so. And so he got to go help me. That narrows it down there. Only five at this point. And so he had to help me, and he comes with me. And so we go, and it's this queen-size bed, right? Beautiful bed, all this stuff. It's like mattress has never been slept on. It was a screaming deal, right? My first hint that things might go awry we have a 15-passenger van, and I couldn't get the box frame into the van through the back. So if you saw a black van driving down Prest Road with a mattress coming out the side and the two doors open, that may have been us. And so we get all the way home, and have dinner and all that nice stuff, and now it's time to move that upstairs. Yeah. So we got it up the first flight of stairs. We came around the corner, moved some furniture. We started going up the second flight of stairs, and I'll get back to the story in a little bit. One day long ago, God's word came to Jonah, Amittai's son. It says, up on your feet and on your way to the big city of Nineveh. Preach to them, they're in a bad way, and I can't ignore it any longer. But Jonah got up and went the other direction to Tarshish. Running away from God, he went down to the port of Joppa and found a ship headed to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went on board, joining those going to Tarshish, as far away from God as he could get. But God sent a huge storm at sea, the waves towering. The ship was about to break into pieces. The sailors were terrified. They called out in desperation to their gods. They threw everything they were carrying overboard to lighten the ship. Meanwhile, Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship to take a nap. He was sound asleep, and the captain came to him and said, what's this, sleeping? Get up! Pray to your God. Maybe your God will see that we're in trouble and rescue us. Then the sailor said to one another, get to the bottom of this. Let's draw straws to identify the culprit on the ship who's responsible for this disaster. So they drew straws. Jonah got the short one. Then they grilled him. Confess, why this disaster? What is your work? Where did you come from? What country? What family? And he told them, I'm a Hebrew. I worship God, the God of heaven who made sea and land. At that, the men were frightened, really frightened, and said, what on earth have you done? As Jonah talked, the sailors realized that he was running away from God. They said to him, what are we going to do with you to get rid of this storm? And by this time, the sea was wild, totally out of control. Jonah said, throw me overboard into the sea, then the storm will stop. It's all my fault. I'm the cause of the storm. Get rid of me, and you'll get rid of the storm. But no, the men tried rowing back to shore. They made no headway. The storm only got worse and worse, wild and raging. And they prayed to God, oh God, don't let us drown because of this man's life. And don't blame us for his death. You are God. Do what you think is best. So they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And immediately the sea quieted down. So it's Friday, and I got this text first thing in the morning from work. Like, I literally just got up and kind of looked, did that thing. And one of the people that moved into the family center, she's younger kids now, but her older son had passed away. And so that was the message. This person's son has passed away, and it'd be really nice if you could touch base with them and, you know, give some pastoral care, and she's really struggling through it. And the first thing that popped into my head was, I got nothing right now. I got nothing. I had just done, I think, 3 funerals in the last 3 weeks, and I got about 4 more coming, people that passed away, all people I knew really well. And I was just done. I wasn't ready to talk to anybody about anything. I wasn't ready to go there. And so I avoided it. I sent her a message back and said, have you talked to Steve? Who's the chaplain that works with us? And I go, because maybe he should do this. That's kind of part of his new job description. And I was right in saying that, but I was also avoiding doing anything. And I kind of, when I drove into work, I kind of know where this lady hangs out during the day, and I avoided that track. And I drove in, and then I went upstairs and kind of went about my day. But then at the end of the day, as I was leaving, and to be honest, it had been bugging me all day. I tried to make excuses for it in my head and kind of talk myself through it. And I walk out the door, and leaning against the building across from me, our main building, was her. Just sitting there, head down, crying. Her kids were riding bikes kind of nearby. And just to be completely honest, in my head I'm going, she hasn't seen me yet. And her head's down right now. But instead, I went over and I just sat down against the brick wall and started to talk. She told me the story of her son, how she'd given him up for adoption because she had him as a teenager, and her mom made her. But then how she reconnected with him later on, and he would come over and spend time with them, and the little ones got to know them as their big brother and fell in love with them. But he'd gotten into addictions, and that ended up being what took him. And so she'd been going to the hospital every day for the last 5 days because he was on life support. And then they finally took him off. And then she said something to me that was, she said, but he's free now. He's free from that addiction. And he's with God now. I realized at that moment, I wasn't there for her. She was there for me. That's the reason I got the text in the morning. That was the reason it was bugging me all day. Because God had put a word on her heart that I needed to hear. So terrified by the sea, but in awe of God, they worshiped God, offered a sacrifice, and made vows. Then God assigned a huge fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the fish's belly 3 days and nights. And then Jonah prayed to his God from the belly of fish. He prayed, in trouble, deep trouble, I prayed to God, and he answered me. From the belly of the grave, I cried, help, you heard my cry. You threw me into ocean's depths, into the watery grave. With ocean waves, ocean breakers crashing over me, I said, I've been thrown away, thrown out of your sight. I'll never again lay eyes on your holy temple. Ocean gripped me by the throat. The ancient abyss grabbed me and held me tight. My head was all tangled in seaweed at the bottom of the sea where the mountains take root. I was as far down as body can go, and the gates were slamming shut behind me forever. Yet you pulled me up from that grave alive, O God, my God. When my life was slipping away, I remembered God, and my prayer got through to you, made it all the way to your holy temple. Those who worship hollow gods, God frauds, walk away from their only true love. But I'm worshiping you, God, calling out in thanksgiving, and I'll do what I promised I'd do. Salvation belongs to God. And God spoke to the fish, and it vomited up Jonah on the seashore. You know, only Scripture does things like that. This beautiful prayer, and then the fish puked him up. So, I'm on the second story. I got this thing turned around that final corner. And I'm starting to pull it up the steps. So, we've rebuilt a bunch of our house. And Chris knows this house very well. But there's an old section which is on the very top. So we lifted our house up, built a floor underneath because we had to fit all our children in. It kind of looks like the young woman with the shoe. I know it's recorded. Yeah. And so to go up there, that's like one of the only things that's left from like 1908 when the place was built originally. It was not built for a queen-size mattress to go up. I knew it was not built for a queen-size mattress to go, or frame especially, to go up. But I was determined that I was going to get that thing through. And so for the next hour and a half, I attempted to get that thing up there. And I'm like yanking on it. And Heidi, like, she came by, and some of y'all know that look that your wives give you when it's like to translate. I love you. You're stupid. This ain't going to work. But I'm going to pretend it might. Y'all know that look. Yeah. Guys, don't try giving it back. That doesn't end well. And so I'm there, and I'm like giving her, right? We're at the point now where I have taken a pry bar, and I've disassembled half of this frame with the thought that I'm going to put it back together because I'm as good as Sealy Prosthopedic. And I've got this thing pulled apart, and it's going like, there's divots, some things may have broken. And so I'm giving her. And I'm not like a very weak guy. And so I'm giving her, and I've gotten it up like six steps. Okay? And I'm just giving her, like, going, going, going. And then I look down, and box frames aren't supposed to go like this. But the section that I've gotten up the six steps is now shaped like this, and it's folded over and bent, and we're stuck. I mean, we're stuck. So I get down, and I go to the other side, and now I'm just trying to save some face. And so I'm trying to pull that thing back out. I'm giving her, like, just go, go, go. And I finally got it half unstuck. And there's, like, essentially this queen-size mattress that's hanging halfway on the stairs and me behind it. And I cracked. I just broke down. And I'm, like, bawling, like, just bawling. And I'm like, why am I bawling? This is a stupid mattress. And I didn't even realize all the damage I'd done to the stairwell. That comes later. And I'm like, this is stupid. And I'm just crying and crying, right? So finally I just sat down trying to compose myself. And my wife comes up and she can't see me. So she's on the other side of the mattress. She's like, are you just sitting there? Because she could see my legs underneath the mattress, right? And I wanted to say, yes, I am. But I was so done, I was just honest. I go, no, I'm crying. She starts laughing. She's like, you're crying over a mattress? And I'm like, no. I don't know why I'm crying. I just am. But I get where Jonah was at. You see, the thing about Jonah that we forget, at least I did, Jonah had been doing ministry for a long time. Jonah had been going out and declaring the word of the Lord to all these different towns. And he was delivering difficult messages. Turn away from your ways. Turn towards God. Turn towards salvation. And he journeyed with so many folks and seen them go the right way, seen them make some of those other calls. And so all of a sudden God comes to him and says, now I want you to go to the nastiest people. The nastiest people around. And he's probably thinking in his head, these are the people that would also just kill you for kicks. Just watch VeggieTales. It's very accurate. Except for the fish part. I don't know where that came from. And I can imagine he was just done. He was just done. And so he cries out to God. And he says, yeah, you're right. I tried to run from you. I tried to go the other way. You've been asking me to do this, and I said no. And so now I'm ready. I'm ready to do what you asked me to do. You know, the one thing that I can't relate to this part, but Jonah was so desperate, that he was willing to just let people put him to his death rather than face what God had called him to do. Like, to be at that point where you're so done, just throw me overboard. Just let me die. It's okay. And these other guys are like, no, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep trying. They hadn't even believed in God before this moment. These are babies here. If your God's that powerful, no, we should just turn back and you go back to your God. No, just throw me overboard. See, when we talk about Jesus and we talk about what he did by coming down, that Jesus allowed himself as God to come down and be able to feel those emotions and what it was like to be human, what it was like to have people turn their backs on you, what it was like to have those who were supposed to be teaching about you all of a sudden call you crooked and a liar. And then to go to the cross for those very people. When you take the story of Jonah and you put it side by side with Jesus' story, especially when we're getting close to the crucifixion, you're going to see some things come up, some similarities. Jesus handled it differently. So my challenge to each of us is, what do we do with that? Who are the Ninevites in our lives? The people who we don't necessarily want to talk to about God, but God's telling us that we need to be talking to them. The people that God might be putting in your life that you're like, nah, I could never go there with that conversation. Or the ones that you're avoiding because you know they're actually ready for that conversation. And I'm not talking about doing the, hey, I'm going to go talk to you, now you're going to come to Jesus and all's going to be good kind of thing. I'm talking about, who are the people that you're going to need to do life with? Praying a prayer is one thing. Doing life with somebody, that's a whole other level. And Jonah knew that that's what God was asking him to do. He knew, and he says it right in that prayer, I am not going to be going back to the Holy Land. That's a whole other story. And are you ready for that? Are you willing to give in to that? And I ask myself the same question. It is not easy to walk alongside somebody who's constantly using drugs and selling themselves on the street. And I have people dying once a week at least. That's not easy. But for some reason, that's my lot. And I've learned more from them than they will ever learn from me. That's just a reality. The young couple who I did the wedding for, it's a beautiful day, gorgeous sunshine. We were at the rehearsal, and I made mention, and I always ask this question, so who's going to be giving the bride away? So when I asked the question, is the mother and the father, the mother and the father and the stepdad and the stepmom, and I've had every combination. And I was so automatic that I asked that question. And she goes, Corey, remember? My mom died a month ago from her overdose. And here's this beautiful young lady who works hard. And her husband are starting off this fresh life. And they honored her the next day during the wedding because they chose to do life together and life with God instead of just abandoning ship. And again, I learned from that young lady how to honor those that we love, that we've lost, and not focus on their issues and their addictions, but on the beautiful creation that God had made them. Right now we got a team down there now, aren't they, in Mexico? And the coolest part of this whole connection was the wedding that I did. Some of you will know that were on the teams before, Charlene and Martin, who were the team from Yarrow. It was their granddaughter. And so they kept asking me, how's the team? Are they going? Are they good? They've been on the same, that team has been with our teams for the last 5 years. So I'm going to end now. I'm going to pray real quick, but I want to lift up our team in Mexico. Because the very things that I talked about today are the folks that they're going to be helping down there and they're going to be surrounded by. And my prayer is going to be that our team can grow in their own faith and their own walk as they're being the hands and feet of Christ. So dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for those people that you put in our lives. We thank you for those Jonah moments where you call us to do stuff that is out of our comfort zone and maybe we're just avoiding because we don't want to go there. But God, I pray especially for our team that's down in Mexico, who many of which are stepping way out of their comfort zones. And they're there building a house, but they're there to work on your kingdom and to learn about you more and more as they interact with each other, as they interact with the family and the pastors down there. And God, we just pray that you bless that and that you bring them back with amazing stories of how the Holy Spirit just showed up, and they can't even explain it. And God, we just give this all to you. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.